setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. In other words, it's all about you, what you are supposed to be doing. Now, why do we focus on you? Well, because we believe that every man and woman on the planet was created to fill a unique role. That means that you are needed. And it also means that you must do it because somebody out there needs you to be you. So this is bigger than us. This isn't just, I want to be happy. This is, I want a sense of joy and fulfillment at the end of each day because I know that I did what I was created to do on behalf of others. This is why every human longs for that answer to the question, why am I here? Because we just were created to make a difference in the lives of others. So we don't need another political talk show. How about a purposeful talk show? That's what we're doing. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's get started. George is on the line in Reading, Pennsylvania. George, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you doing today?
I am living the dream, George. How can I help?
I have a quick question. So currently I am an accountant. I have gone for my bachelor's and also I've gone for my master's, and I'm close to paying that off. I'm probably like around $20,000 left in debt and while from being at 45. And I've always had a passion since a young age for law enforcement, military, and currently I'm a volunteer firefighter. And I just wanted to make sure, my question was, how do I know that accounting isn't for me and that I should follow more of my dream of going for either military or becoming a career fire or a police officer?
Well, George, I think you actually know. I think everybody listening to you right now just heard you tell yourself why you're not passionate about accounting. You've never wondered about it. You've never thought about it. When you were younger, you didn't go, boy, I can't wait to crunch numbers and open up some spreadsheets. That never happened. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been good at
Hold on. I didn't say, are you good at it? I said, have you ever in your life longed for and dreamed about and thought about what it might be like to do accounting work?
Yeah, I've never. It's always been more of a safe haven kind of thing.
Exactly. So how do you know? That's how you know. You look deep within. You say, I'm going to listen to my heart. I'm going to get outside of my head. Let me tell you what accounting work is for you. Accounting is a safe decision. And our culture creates this idea that the safe decision is the smart decision. And I'm going to tell you, the safe decision leads to regret and people calling my show. And thankfully, you're calling me ahead of this deal. So how do you know? Well, you said it. I didn't say it. You said it. Ken, I've always had a passion. Those were your words. For the military, for law enforcement, for serving the public. So let's just dive into the why. I've said many times, if your why doesn't make you cry, it's not your why. Now, what do I mean by that? Does that mean you're walking around boohooing all the time? You know, like I don't walk into the studio in tears every day. You know, we got some lovely people out here watching the show here at our Ramsey Studios through the glass, and I'm not crying right now. But I have known to cry in meetings here, talking about the audience and what's going on. It happens every once in a while. So what do I mean? What I mean is your work, the idea of getting to do the work, the results of the work ought to move you to the point of some emotion. It doesn't have to always be boo-hoo and tears and snotting all over the place. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that you're so incredibly gratified that you get to do something. So you tell us, why are you so passionate about the military and law enforcement? Tell us the why from your heart, George. I don't want to hear your head. I want to hear your heart.
Personally, I've always appreciated military personnel, police officers, firemen. It's always been kind of, it's more of a It's more of a, not just serving the community and helping others that there are in need of help, but it's also, I've listened to a motivator recently, and what he said kind of inspired me. Basically, become be an uncommon man.
Yeah.
So that, I feel like that's something that not everyone wants to be, but I feel like that's something that has to be done.
Right.
Helping out, and just becoming something, giving more than just pushing, exactly. pushing pens and crunching numbers.
Got it. All right, George. Now let's just have one more fun question, okay? And I want you to just, I want you to react. I don't want you to think. I want you to react. I'm going to push my little magic fast forward button that I have here in the studio, and I'm going to create a vision for you that in the near future, you are in some type of role, whether it be law enforcement, the military, and you are serving the public. And you know that even on the days where you may not be in the act of saving or rescuing somebody, but you're waiting for that opportunity or you're training for that opportunity, but I want you to just go to your mind in the future, and there's a day where you did something and you served the public in a way that made things tremendously better and people were grateful for your contribution, that you were there. How would that feel in your heart?
Oh, it feels amazing.
There it is. And there's your answer. Folks, this is really important because I understand that I'm out here every day helping you get clarity so that you can overcome fear and doubt. Now, let's just talk about those two ugly, nasty cousins, because they're related and they feed off each other and they're just evil. And they hang out on our shoulders, right? You got fear on one shoulder and doubt on the other shoulder. And fear is saying things like, you will be a massive failure. People will say that you're a nut job if you transition or if you truly set a course and go after what you know you were created to do. You're going to starve. You're going to be homeless. Everybody's going to be embarrassed to know you because you're going to fail mightily. That's what fear says. Doubt says it's too late. You don't have what it takes. Oh, I think it's almost impossible. That's what doubt says. And they feed each other. And so when you have fear and doubt whispering and sometimes shouting those messages in your ear, it can completely cloud your brain and my brain. By the way, I am not immune to fear or doubt. My fear is different. My doubts are different. But we all face it. How do I overcome it? How do you overcome it? By retreating to clarity of the heart. The conversation we just had with George was all about letting his heart overrule his head. Let the heart speak to you. And when the heart speaks to you, it tells you the truth, and then you can tell your brain, shut up, I'm following my heart. Follow your heart. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Don't move. More of your calls coming right up. Welcome back, America. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. So excited to have you with us. Not another political talk show. This is a talk show about you and your purpose. Is it possible? Is it possible to do work that you're good at and that you love and that creates results that mean something to you? Well, of course it is. We're helping you reclaim your Monday mornings by helping you discover who you are and what you want to do. Then we'll help you come up with the questions you need to figure out how to get qualified. Then once you're qualified, where do I start? And then how do I begin to step in and step up, begin to advance down the path so that I wind up in a place of just continual momentum? That's right. That's why we're here. It's all about you. 844-747-2577 to your calls in just a moment. But I've got big news. We have launched the official Ken Coleman community on Facebook. How about that? So this is very exciting, and I'll tell you why, because we're going to be doing a lot of interacting with you, the audience, in that Facebook community. You can ask questions live of me. I'm going to get into a version of the Ken Coleman Show in Facebook. You can give feedback to others, encourage them on the journey. You can make connections with others that are on the same kind of purposeful path that you are. And this all happens in the official Ken Coleman community on Facebook. So just search official Ken Coleman community on Facebook and click join. Remember, this is for you. So spread the word. And we're going to be popping in there doing some really cool exclusive stuff for those of you. So if you want to be a part of that, go to Facebook and join. 844-747-2577, the number. We go to Santa Ana, California, where Jen is on the line. Jen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you? It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Well, the pleasure's all mine. How can I help?
Well, I am in transition from battling cancer to returning to the work world. And what I have a couple of questions for you. And the first is, do I need to revamp my resume to reflect that 6-month gap in employment from the time that I've been diagnosed, treated, and recovering from cancer?
Well, let's take that one first. I don't know why you would need to, because the only reason you left the workforce was to battle cancer. And it seems as though you're victorious, or you're on the path to victory. Yes or no?
On the path. I have my PET scan on Monday, and I'll get the results on the 24th of September. So awesome. I'm on the way.
Awesome. So here's my point. I don't know what you would say in your resume to reflect it anyway. What would you do? If you're in your mind's eye right now and you're looking at your resume, what would you do? You go in there and put from this month to this month battling cancer? That's the only thing you could do. I mean, it'd be kind of cool. I think it's kind of cool. I'd be proud of that. I think, if you're battling that insidious disease, that pretty much explains a 6-month workplace absence. And that's kind of interesting. I've got no problem doing that, putting a little, literally in your work history, to put that line in there. So from this month to this month, left the workforce to battle cancer on my way to victory. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. Yeah. That would certainly address it. All right. I like that. Question two.
Okay. Question two is, while I was taking this walk, I believe that we get these gifts from the universe and from God to nudge us into another chapter. And I'm thinking about transitioning from executive administration, which I've been doing for the past 35 years, to hospital administration or even patient advocacy. As I found myself advocating for my fellow patients while a patient, and realize the myriad of things that people have to deal with on top of battling cancer.
I like it.
Because
you're already qualified for it in the sense of leading. So if we look at a leadership role to another leadership role, you know how to lead people. You know how to be an executive. You know how to get stuff done. The only issue is what do you need to learn and do to be qualified maybe to be in that field. And if there's, you're in the research stage here. Okay.
Yes.
And so you can research, what do I need to learn, do to get qualified? How much is that going to cost me? That's the second question, right? And then based on the cost, how much time is that going to take? Those are your three key questions to ask in the research stage. And then the answers to those questions give you the details to be able to build a plan. So you go, okay, well, it's going to cost me this much. It means I'd have to save up for 6 months to start. And then once I start, it's going to take me 18 months. I'm making all this up. But that's the process. Those answers, that's how you work through that. And then once you know what you got to do, you got to start. You got to start the process. That's engaging. That's stage three. And start engaging on that. That's just getting out of the starting block. And you're a go-getter. I mean, cancer's got no chance against you. You've been a leader for 35 years. You got this. But let me just tell you this. As you're engaging, the stage three, you're going to work the proximity principle. My best-selling book. As a matter of fact, let's give Jen a copy. It's the least I can do as she fights this awful disease. But Jen, you're going to, not only are you in the process now, I'm engaging in the process of learning and doing to get qualified. I'm also engaging people who are doing what I want to do in places that what I want to do is happening. So this is lunches, coffees, shadowing some hospital executives, whatever you got to do. Because what's happening is while you're learning and doing what you have to do to be able to do what you want to do, you want to be making connections so that opportunities are beginning to present themselves. They're stacking up. They're waiting on you. That's how that works. Let's go to Kevin, who's on the line in Terre Haute, Indiana. Kevin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'm on baby step six. I'm married with four daughters. I'm 34 years old.
Wow.
So right now I'm a federal investigator, and this is a job that I prayed for. It has a great pay, great retirement, great schedule. However, I like it, but I'm not in love with my job. And I'm wondering, is the reason I keep on looking for other jobs and thinking about it in my head to leave the job is because it's not my dream job. And my dream job is a high school teacher, athletic director, but it doesn't make nearly as much as what I do now.
Doesn't matter.
So I'm kind of...
Doesn't matter. You got what you have are a case of the golden handcuffs. You make really good money. Really good money, and you're on baby step six for non-Dave Ramsey Show fans. That means he's all the way to paying off the house, and he's going to pay off the house and live like no one else. So you're financially in really, really good shape. And so you're afraid to tell everybody that you know and love, hey, I'm going to walk away from this awesome federal investigator job that has great salary, great perks, and I'm going to go be a high school teacher and athletic director and make a fraction or a lot less than I am now. And you're afraid everybody's going to go, gee whiz, Kevin. Have you lost your mind? It's like the reverse midlife crisis. You're going backwards, man. What's wrong with you? That's what you're worried about.
Yeah, a little bit, definitely.
No, not a little bit, a lot. I'm just telling you. Here's how I know that. Because you're very clear on what you want to do. You just articulated your dream job. So let's forget about all the other nonsense. Let's talk about your heart. Why do you want to be a high school teacher and athletic director? Tell me the why.
I have a passion for it. I enjoy helping kids, directing them. I love sports. When I'm involved in that, that's my sweet spot, as you would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So give me one good reason why you wouldn't pursue that. Because you're actually in a place where you can do it now. You don't have to wait. Other than qualifications part of it, right? But you, if you've got to
get,
I mean, what qualifications do you need to be a high school teacher and athletic director?
I would need a teaching licensure from the state of Indiana.
Big freaking deal. Go get it. You don't have to get a degree. All you got to do is go get the licensing, man, and start working your relationships. Kevin, here's the deal, man. I don't know why you called me. You didn't ask me a question, but I think why you called is you just go, Ken, why am I waffling on this? Help me. And the reason you're waffling is you're worried what everybody else is going to say and do. Financially, you're in a great position. You can actually do this. That's true financial peace. And this is the Ken Coleman Show. Are you stuck in the 9-to-5? Mondays represent a bunch of misery for you. Oh my gosh, I gotta go make it through the week. Whatever I gotta do to make it to Friday afternoon, I'll do it. Living for the weekend. Oh, if that's you, you found the radio show for you. The Ken Coleman Show welcomes you. I'm Ken. We're helping men and women every day get the clarity they need to be able to confidently step forward on the path to fulfilling their purpose. And when life throws the dips and the detours at us, that clarity and confidence will give us the courage to stay with it. So that's what we do. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Fun audience today watching the show here in the lobby of our pristine new Ramsey Solutions headquarters. So you're welcome to come watch the show. You can just come any day of the week. Here we are. from 12 to 2 Central Time, 1 to 3 Eastern. And we'll feed you some good food, give you some free cold and hot beverages as well. So come one, come all. Let's go to Michelle, who's on the line in Portland, Oregon. Michelle, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, I'm so happy to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. How can I help?
Yeah, so my husband and I have got ourselves debt-free out of baby steps 2 and 3.
Yes.
And we're trying to decide, what do we do first? What are our next steps? I would love to transition to a stay-at-home mom, work-from-home career. I'm an engineer now, make good money, but I'd love to become a life coach. I've wanted that for years. My husband, though, is concerned that we're renting an apartment and we need to get started on equity. So we're trying to decide, should I do the life coaching education first, which will cost a lot, maybe put us back a year purchasing a house, or should we focus on purchasing a house first?
Well, see, now this is one of those questions where this is a husband and wife conversation over a nice mm-hmm. dinner, maybe several dinners. I don't have the clear-cut answer there because there's no right or wrong to the scenarios that you gave me, meaning if you mm-hmm. two sit down and get on the same page and decide that you are going to go ahead and start that life coaching certification, and that's going to cost a certain amount of dollars, which will then kind of put the saving up for a down payment on a home on pause or certainly delay it. You guys are both on the mm-hmm. same page for that? Great. Good decision. If you guys are on the same page mm-hmm. that you're going to put off being a life coach or at least getting the certification for that until you saved up to put a down payment on a home, then I'm good with that decision too. But let me give you the one thing that I feel like I can say to this conversation, and that is this. Mm-hmm. There are two things here that you need to take into consideration that relate to your dream job and getting there. Number one, the time mm-hmm. and money that it will take to get qualified. That's what you've been thinking about. But the thing that you may not be thinking about, and you've got to have this conversation with the hubs, is that it's going to take time to build up a life coaching business. It just mm-hmm. is. So now the question becomes, how much money realistically will you need to and want to make in this life coaching business? Do you have a number in your mind?
The program that I'm signing up for is kind of trains you to make $100K the first year.
Wow. They might train you for that, but that's not a guarantee. I just want to be real.
That's what my husband says.
Well, your husband's right.
Now.
I know, but you're an engineer. Do you know how you're going to make $100K? Let's just have some fun with this. Do you know how you would make $100K in your first year as a life coach? Tell me the business model. How would you make it? What would it take?
Well, I've already started writing a book to kind of create an online presence, like an ebook. So I've started that. I was thinking of having monthly membership programs for $450 a month where I coach you on different life goals.
Okay, so how many people do you have signed up for $450 a month for you to make $100,000?
I think 10 to 15 people.
Okay. My point is that it's going to take you time to build that. This organization mm-hmm. can train you. And I'd love for you to actually mm-hmm. be a part of the Ken Coleman Life Coach, Career Coach channel that's coming down the road. We're not there yet, but it's coming.
Great.
Okay, but listen, you're going to have to build the business yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They may train you, but there's no guarantee your hubs is right. So you've got to be realistic. You're a brand new life coach, and you're going to come up with a $450 a month subscription model that includes your time coaching. I love where you're going. I think all that's great. You need to test it. But for you to rely on that in your first year to be able to generate that kind of revenue, I think is very, very, very aggressive and positive.
Okay.
Okay? No, listen. You want me to be real with you, and I'm being real with you.
Yeah.
So my point is, what if you don't make 100? How would that affect you guys in your financial goals? And if you talk your hubs into that, and this whole time he's going, I don't know, babe, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And then you get into this and you don't meet your goals, your very aggressive goals, that starts to affect you financially and relationally. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So here's my point. Why am I kind of going through this? I want you to make sure that when you sit down with your husband that you are being very honest and transparent about your goals and your wants and how realistic they are, so that when he gives his take that we're both operating in a place of clarity. And I just think that your goals, your expectations for $100,000 your first year as a life coach is outrageous. Good on you if you do it. Good on you. Go for it. But you better have a realistic backup plan if you don't hit that number. Does that make sense?
I think the realistic backup plan would be to stay in engineering and then build up my career.
That's where I was going next. I love it, Michelle. You can build the life coaching business on the side.
Right.
And that's what everybody who calls me wants to be a life coach. I tell them all the same thing. So if you've heard me before, this is not new. But you build this thing on the side. And so to me, that means there's no hurry for you to get licensed either. So if you guys, as a couple, if you're, just rate your goals. Just rate your goals. How high on the list is for him? How high on his list is you getting your certification? How high on his list is you being a practicing life coach? How high on his list is getting a house?
Yeah.
You see where I'm going. So back to my initial thing. I wasn't doing an ole, ole, ole bullfighter move. That's a conversation between a husband and a wife. And you two have got to sit down and be crystal clear. And it's okay for you both to have different goals and to see different priorities. But that's where relationship and compromise and communication come in. So that's how that works. Last segment, we had a great call from Jen, who has been fighting cancer and as a result has been out of the workforce for 6 months. And I wanted to mention this because we just had a recent blog post on this. 3 steps for re-entering the workforce. So this is good for Jen. It's good for those of you who are going, okay, Ken, I've been a stay-at-home mom or whatever your situation is. Life dictated that you came home. You've been out of the workforce for a while. And I get this call a lot. People are terrified. Oh my gosh, I feel like the workforce has passed me by. So we've got this blog at daveramsey.com/blog. It's entitled 3 Steps for Reentering the Workforce. And here are the 3 steps. I'll give it to you real quick, and then you can go read it in depth. Clarify what it is you want to do. Figure out the timeline on getting qualified. And then start to work the proximity principle. Get around people that are doing what you want to do. Get in places where it is happening. That's where opportunity presents itself. Now, that's just a quick 1, 2, 3. We go in depth in this blog post, but this is great for those of you who are in this situation or you know somebody who is going to be reentering the workforce and they're kind of terrified because they've been out of the workforce, even if it's been for 6 months. So go check it out, daveramsey.com/blog. That's where we've got that fun stuff there. And again, you know, here's the whole point and why I write a blog like this, because there's so much fear in the unknown. We know from all kinds of psychological studies and research that the number one fear that a human being has is the fear of the unknown. Now, if you tell me, Ken, there's some risk involved with doing this, but this is the specific risks. Oh, okay, well, I get to weigh that. But if you go, Ken, you can do this, but I have no idea what's going to happen. Ah! That freaks us out. So that's why we want to get clear. More of your calls coming up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Shining the light on your path to purpose. I'm Ken, and this is the Ken Coleman Show. So thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. And you can also email the show if you got questions about the show. If you'd like to learn more about getting on the air and all that goodness, ask@kencoleman.com is the email address. And, of course, the website, kencoleman.com. Would love to connect with you there for all the social media connections. And great free resources, all of that at kencoleman.com. All right, let's go to Matt, who's on the line in Dallas, Texas. Matt, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
So I have successfully used the proximity principle to get some clarity and confidence.
Hey.
To make a career change.
I like hearing that.
Yes, sir.
All right.
But the hardest part for me is leaving my boss. I know I don't want to be in this career field in 10 years. And while some parts of my job kind of frustrate me, my boss and I were pretty tight. I just feel like we've been in the trenches in this pretty hard job. And so I know that he won't be able to hire someone else for about 6 months and that he's going to be stuck with a lot of work when I leave. So I'm pretty loyal, and this is tough for me, even though I know that this is the right step.
Yeah.
So how do I leave well, and can you help me feel better about not feeling like I'm abandoning him?
Yeah, I think that's the issue. I don't think you need my advice on how to leave well. Yeah, I don't think that's it at all. I think I just think you're like, Ken, help me deal with this overwhelming guilt I have for leaving this guy who I love and who I've been in battle with. Am I right?
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Do you really want my advice on how to leave well? Is that something I need to address? I'll address it in 15 seconds if you want me to.
Okay.
Here's how we leave well. We don't show up in the middle of the night with a 2-week notice. We don't just show up, hey, I'm out, see you later. No, you know, you're going to go in, you're going to sit down and have a heart-to-heart, man-to-man, eyeball-to-eyeball chat and tell him how much you care for him and how much he or she is meant to you. And you just, boom, hey, here's the deal. And because of that, this makes this really hard, but I know I'm supposed to be somewhere else, and I know specifically what my path is, and it's time for me to take a step towards that path. And I hate having to disappoint you if this disappoints you or hurts you if it hurts you, but I just want you to know it's time for me to move on. And so I'm letting you know, I'll do whatever the transition needs to be. How can I make sure that I leave really, really strongly and don't leave a wake of disasters and unleft, you know, blah, 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 task and all this kind of stuff. That's all you got to do. Now, let's talk about how you feel, because that's why you called me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. Dude, let me ask you a question. Let me instead of telling you how you should feel, let me just ask a question. This is a guy, right? Your boss, is that right? The one you've been in a battle with?
Correct.
Sorry? Okay.
Yes, sir.
How much older is he than you?
About 5 years.
Okay. And have you ever shared with him? You guys ever just talked about your hopes and dreams?
And that's part of it, because I'm in recreational sports, and we both kind of have a passion for it, but I don't want to be in it in 10 years. And I feel like part of that is going to disappoint him because I'm going back to my kind of roots in accounting to pursue a CPA.
Yeah, but my point is, have you ever shared that might be in your future, something beyond recreational sports?
I don't think so.
Okay, great.
I think
All right, forget it. Bad question by host. We'll strike that one from the record. Do you think he wants what's best for you? You think he wants you to win in life? You think he's for you beyond just being your boss?
Absolutely.
Okay, then he might be disappointed that you are going to leave and not be in close proximity to each other all day, every day. That makes sense. He may be a little confused by your decision because you've never shared with him before, but none of that matters because it's your path and it's your decision and it's where you know you're supposed to go. Yes or no?
I believe so. Absolutely.
Okay, then great news. He's going to be eventually excited and happy for you getting what's best for you. You just said that. Will he be initially disappointed and hurt? Absolutely, but that's relational. Right?
Right.
He's going to be happy for you in the long term. Am I correct?
I believe so.
All right, then. So there's nothing to worry about. This is a classic example. We get so hung up on the fear of peers. What are our friends going to say? And what are our family going to say when we have to tell them that it's time for us to move forward? Well, Ken, I know that I'm supposed to move forward. I know how I'm supposed to move forward. But I'm afraid to move forward because of what others are going to say. Now, when you say it like that, it feels silly. So don't do anything silly. Do what you're supposed to do. And if they're not happy for you, that tells you where the relationship was in the first place. Because people that are for you are going to be happy when you say, it's time for me to leave. And while I'm sad to leave, it's the right thing to leave. And they're going to go, yes, we're going to be sad. We're going to miss you, but we're happy for you. Let's go to Jose, who's on the line in Washington, D.C. Jose, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
So I'm interested in doing a career change into IT. I wanted to know if it would be best to just do like self-study certifications and then just work, or should I go through and complete my degree? I have about 2 years left, and then work afterwards.
I love option one, and I'm so happy that you even gave that to me as an option, because this is usually what I say to people. Because I don't think the degree, you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the degree gets you anywhere further or faster than actually all the certifications, the self-study, the training, and then getting into the field and kind of working your way up that way. I don't think that moves you along any faster. Am I correct?
I agree. From what I've seen online and Googling, it's more like the degree helps trying to get you into the management side of it.
Yeah, but here's the deal. That may be initially, but if you go with your first path where you start self-study and you get all these certifications and qualifications and you're doing all these extra things beyond qualifications and you're doing things like webinars and learning the business and the chatter and all that kind of stuff, and you start using the proximity principle and you start getting in, then you get in and get hired and you start kicking tail and you know your role, accept your role, and maximize your role, you're going to get promoted.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you know it, and I know it. I think you just needed me to say that your instincts are right, and your instincts are right, Jose. I love path number one. More people ought to do it that way, certainly in technology. Because I'm going to tell you right now, technology is moving so quickly that I can't see how you going and studying to get a degree in technology or just to be able to say I want to manage and be a leader. Let me tell you something. Oh, I'm really going to step on some toes here, Joe, but I just got to say it. There is no college class or degree in the world that can teach you how to lead. Oh, boy.
That's right.
I did it.
Yeah.
There I did it, Joe. I just stepped all over a bunch of people's toes. You know the way to learn how to lead? Two easy steps. Number one, follow a really great leader. Number two, start serving people with a little bit more influence at a time and keep serving and keep serving and keep serving. Keep following great leaders, read great leaders, watch great leaders, and practice what they do. Now, you show me a college class that does that, woohoo, take it. Nah, you're not going to find it. There it is. I'm so controversial, aren't I, Joe? Oh, man, the best way to lead is to learn how to follow great leaders and then reciprocate, right? Do what they did for you for other people. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.